whatever we see. That is the one thing that I would never do. You never have to worry about that. That's the one thing I would never do. I want to tell you, that's what we better watch.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Sardis was the ancient capital of the kingdom of Lydia, and it was such a wealthy city that it was the place where minted money, or modern currency as we know it, was first born or invented. It was appropriate that it should have happened there. The stream, Pactolus it was called, flowed through Sardis and carried within its sand an abundance of gold. It was a very wealthy city. It seemed that even nature itself was conspiring to make Sardis a wealthy city. The city proper was situated on the Acropolis, on the hill, mountain-like outside, and it was perched within an impregnable fortress, some 1,000 foot or feet above the beautiful plain. The strange fate of Sardis was that life had been too easy for it. It isn't always good to have an easy life. Sardis had grown flabby. It had sunk into an easy, self-indulgent decadence, which all of the world knew of in the ancient days. It's no wonder, then, that this impregnable, so-called impregnable city had been conquered on two separate occasions. On both occasions, it had fallen due to sleeping sentinels. But in AD 17, when Jesus was a teenager in Palestine, disaster struck Sardis again. This time it came in the form of an earthquake, which utterly devastated the city. Sardis then existed in a Roman world, and the Romans attempted to restore it to its former splendor, but it failed. Sardis thereafter lived on in its past glory. It had a name that it lived, but in reality, the city was dead. In a very real sense, this was the condition of the Christian church in Sardis. Her spiritual history, the spiritual history of the church at Sardis, was beginning to parallel her political history. She had a reputation that she lived, but she was dead. But it didn't need to be so. It didn't have to be so. Seems to me there are two portraits in this passage that will demonstrate why this is such a vital issue. One, there is the characterization of the risen Christ, and that's in verse 1. And I think the emphasis there is simply twofold. One, you see Christ's supremacy or sovereignty over his spirit. He's the one who hath the seven spirits of God. And then secondly, his supremacy or sovereignty over his servants. He hath also the seven stars, who are very likely the seven pastors of the seven churches to which the book of Revelation is addressed. We go from that to the communication to this apathetic church. And that's unfolded for us in verses 2 to 6. We begin with the criticism, as Jesus does on this occasion. We begin with the criticism of Sardis, and that's in verses 1 and 2. There's a criticism at the end of verse 1, and there's a criticism at the end of verse 2, and it's a twofold criticism. One, he says, there was at Sardis a deceptive identity. I wonder how many times we're guilty of a deceptive identity. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. That was his first criticism. There was a deceptive identity. There was also a defective activity. I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now he gives them a counsel very quickly. You notice in verses 2 and 3, Sardis, he says, has a fivefold need. He gives them the counsel there. He says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. And then down in verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If you look at that very carefully, there are five insights there. Sardis has a need, number one, for revitalization. Be watchful. Twice, we've already mentioned it, twice Sardis had failed to watch in its history, and twice it had been conquered by foreign powers. On both occasions, it was due to the fact that somebody had not watched. The sentinels had gone to sleep. A city with a history like that could understand the imperator from the risen Christ. Watch! It's an interesting word, watch, ageros, the Greek word. It's the word which means to wake up. It's the word which means to rise up. It's the word that is often used of those who are resurrected from the dead. Wake up and see what's going on is the essence of the statement. It's a call for spiritual alertness and vitality. In effect, it's a call for biblical revival. You need to be made alive again. You know, there are 2 points. Let me give this to you quickly. There are 2 points which every man must watch. You ever think about this? That's a call for you and I as well. For some of us, if we're dead, we need to be revived. If some of us are alive and alert, we need to watch, nevertheless. We need to be cautious, nevertheless. Very alert and spiritually vital. And there are 2 points at which every man must be upon the watch. You ever think about it? Number one, at his weak point. Every man has his weak point. Every woman has her weak point. And every Christian would do well to know that weak point and to guard against it, for that is where our great enemy, it won't be Cyrus and the Persians, it won't be Antiochus and the Greeks, it won't be an earthquake as in AD 17, it'll be the enemy we call the devil. At that weak point, our great enemy, the devil, will attack. You know, students of Shakespearean tragedy have discovered that every one of the main figures in Shakespeare's tragedies were truly great men who had only one fatal weakness. And that fatal flaw was the ruin of themselves and of those who love them. For those of you who know Shakespeare, with Macbeth, it was ambition. With Othello, it was jealousy. With Hamlet, it was indecision. But in every case, the flaw was fatal. So you and I as Christians are called to constant vigilance at our weak point. And with God's help, we're taught that we can conquer it. Jesus says, you remember in Matthew 26 and verse 41, Jesus says, watch, and he uses the same Greek word there. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We must watch at our weak point. But then secondly, we must watch also, every man must watch first at his weak point, secondly at his strong point. And that is where Sardis, the city, had failed. And that is where Sardis, the church, was in danger of failing. Sardis, the city, had failed when she had been conquered. She thought that she was impregnable. She thought she was impregnable. And it appeared to the watching world that she was. And so she went to sleep, and she was overcome by the enemy. If ever you and I say something like this, if ever we say, that is the one thing that I would never do, you never have to worry about that, that's the one thing I would never do, I want to tell you, that's where we better watch. That is the very thing against which we ought to be on our guard. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and watchfulness is the absolute necessity of life. And so Paul could say, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, let him that thinketh he standeth, he thinks he's strong. This is the one thing I would never do. This is the one offense of which I would never be guilty. Here's this man who's fallen in that way, but I will never fall in that way. Paul says, therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. The word of counsel for Jesus to the church at Sardis was revitalization. Watch. You need a spiritual resurrection. You need to come alive and be alert again. You need to wake up and see what's going on. Not only revitalization, but also reaffirmation. He says, I want you to strengthen the things which remain. Sterizo is the word. We hear a lot about steroids today. They're supposed to make us strong. Sterizo is the word. It's the word which means to stabilize, to establish, to make solid or firm, to prop up. And it implies that complete and final death had not yet set into that church. A nucleus of life still remained, but it had to be fanned into flame. They must reaffirm, strengthen the things which remain. They must reaffirm their loyalty to Christ and his word. I wonder if some of us need to do that. And then there was recollection. He says, do you notice? Remember, down in verse 3, I believe it is. Remember how thou hast received and heard. Isn't it interesting? He does not say, remember what you received and heard. The problem was not with the what. They had orthodoxy. They'd held on to the doctrines. They had orthodoxy, but it was dead orthodoxy. He says, remember not what. The little adverbial particle is pos. And it means fundamentally, Artin Gingrich and others, it means fundamentally how. Remember how thou hast received and heard. They were far removed from their initial reception of Jesus Christ. They had received Christ, they had heard his word. They were far removed from their initial reception of Jesus Christ and his word. How did the New Testament Christians hear and receive God's word and God's Christ? Do you remember that? How did they receive him? Very quickly, they received that message eagerly, Acts 17:11. They received the word with all readiness, eagerness of mind. They received the word courageously, having received the word in much affliction, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. They received the word joyfully, having received the word with joy of the Holy Ghost, same verse, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. They received the word appreciatively. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. They had an appreciation for the message they heard, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And they received it meekly. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, I want you to remember how you received it. Is that where you still are? There was a time when you would eagerly, courageously, joyfully, appreciatively, meekly responded to the message of God's word. You loved and cherished Jesus Christ. You would have given up your life for the Son of God and for the message of the gospel. Is that the kind of loyalty you have to Christ today? That's what he says to Sardis. And that's what he's saying to us. And then they have a need for reverence. Do you notice? And hold fast. Once you remember, once you recall where you were, have a reverence for that. Hold it fast. It means to stand guard over. Jealously guard it and hold on to it. It means to prize highly, to impute value to it. It means to cherish and highly regard and have a reverence for what you remember. Remember your original radiant relationship to God's word and to God's Christ. And return to that. And that's the next point, repentance. That's the fifth word of counsel, repentance. And repent. In other words, this is what Jesus is saying. See if you follow it with me. This is what Jesus is saying. In those last two points, this is what he's saying. He said, number one, I want you to revere what you were. And number two, I want you to repent of what you are. I wonder if that isn't a message for some of us. I know at various points in my life, that's been a message for me. I want you to remember and revere what you were when you first came to Christ. And I want you to repent of what you are, having drifted from the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance means that we need to make a decisive break with sin. And we do that by assuming personal responsibility for sin without imputing blame to somebody else. Whenever we impute blame to somebody else, we're not repenting. Repentance means making a decisive break with sin by assuming responsibility for our own sins and not imputing blame to someone else. And secondly, by humbly submitting to God's authority over our lives. We can't have our lives cleansed of sin while at the same time holding onto the reins of our lives. God will not cleanse us, we will not submit to him.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
When a man brought shame upon that city, or when he died, his name would be removed from the register. Jesus says, this will never happen to you.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.